Think of questions and hold them, and we'll have questions at the end. Our next presentation is on communication and collaboration between local boards of health and their communities. And the speaker is Charles Moon, who's been in two sectors. He's been in the academic sector, and now he's with the National Association of Local Boards of Health. It's located in Ohio. And he's their research director. So he's going to tell us about the survey of local boards of health and its implications on communication. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm a little short here. Thank you. It's good to be with you. In 1998, the National Association of Local Boards of Health, and if I may abbreviate that to NALBO, conducted its first national survey. NALBO is only about 15 years old, so it's a relatively new private sector organization that has a mission of educating and training local boards of health. And so in 1998, in collaboration with the CDC and other individuals and groups, but primarily the CDC, they conducted a nationwide survey of local boards of health. And so in 2008, 10 years later, we decided it was time, probably past time, to conduct another survey and see what changes had taken place since that 1998 survey, but also measure some of the other important characteristics, attributes, properties, traits of local boards of health. Because certainly the composition and organization of boards of health had changed over that decade. So we will be selecting just a handful of items that we will focus on that have relevance to this session. Marie Fallon, the executive director, and I are kind of co-authors of the presentation. She was going to be here to actually present the last half of the slide presentation, but she was not able to make it, so I'm going to do her part, the second half, and I'll try to do her justice, but I probably won't. So, forewarned is forearmed. We have no relationships to disclose. The presentation does include a summary of results that were funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. The profile itself, the 2008 profile, was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and we are very grateful for the steadfast support of that philanthropic organization. We are totally responsible for the accuracy of the data, the appropriateness of the interpretations, the validity of the conclusions, and so the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation does not necessarily accept, approve, endorse, subscribe to what I am about to report this afternoon. Purpose of the presentation, a list of questions that we wanted to answer using the 2008 survey. Again, a subset of questions. We had a much longer list of questions that were answered by the complete survey, but we have identified just a few here that we think are relevant to the topic that is under discussion for this afternoon. And so the actual survey results will attempt to address how do boards of health receive community input through do boards of health have working relationships with community-based organizations? And then we will take a look at the last two questions in terms of implications that can be drawn from those results, and what some examples might be from the literature that are being demonstrated out in the field that actually reveal some productive methods of communication, and are taking great strides and steps to overcoming some of the issues and problems with communicating between and among constituent groups, collaborators and partners within the communities of our country. So the learning objectives will not give you a test at the end of this presentation, but we hope that you will be able to show evidence of having mastered some of these, and that will be revealed perhaps if we have time at the end with a few discussion questions. The method that we used to collect our data was cross-sectional survey. There were on the order of 3,278 local boards of health in the population that we were able to identify. And that's kind of a moving target. Some, depending on the day, there are some boards of health that don't satisfy our definition, others that do, and they tend to come and go on a weekly or even monthly basis. So we have to be careful with that number. But it is probably over 3,200. The technique was a mailed questionnaire. We had thought about using a web-based survey, but the consensus was to do a mailed survey, and that would parallel what we did in 1998. Because we are joining or have joined the Data Harmonization Project with NACHO, the National Association of County and City Health Officials, and ASTHO, the group that oversees the state departments of health, we are going to use a web-based survey in 2010 collaboratively among those three organizations. The sample of 870 respondents yielded a 27% response rate. These are just some demographic results, and I realize it's very hard to see, but the predominant or modal geographic distribution here is county. County was far and away the largest geographic jurisdiction. We had town and township with about 20%, almost 20%. So those two geographic jurisdictions were the lion's share of the respondents to the survey. And I might add that because of data harmonization, we tend to compare notes a lot. So I took a closer look at NACHO's demographic variables, compared our geographic jurisdiction with theirs, and it turned out to be very, very similar. It matched up very well within about 3% for each of the categories. 2006 population of the jurisdiction served by boards of health, predominantly less than 25,000, so very small. These categories were also compared with NACHO's, and again, a very high level of correspondence between the percents of Malbo and NACHO for each one of these categories. So in terms of demographic variables, these two demographic variables, there is fairly good correspondence, comparability, and therefore we feel somewhat confident that we are tapping essentially the same population segments between NACHO and NALVO with respect to these demographic variables. How do boards of health receive community input? We find that predominantly through public comments and citizen complaints. Okay, these are unsolicited, okay, information from the community. And so as local boards of health meet once every 2 weeks or once a month or once quarterly, they can expect public comment, citizen complaints, for the most part. To a lesser extent, they use formal public hearings to listen to the community, to take the pulse of the community with respect to public health issues. To a much lesser extent, public membership. That is membership in the local board of health by public figures, like especially governmental offices represented on the board. How do boards of health actively seek community input? Okay, these are solicitations for community input. And so, again, predominantly hearings and elected officials, 30% each, with other and newspaper editorials, not so much as far as the solicitation of community input. The other, because it's so large, 21%, we actually looked at the write-ins, okay, the verbal data in response to other. There was a little direction that asked for the respondent to please specify. And so where they did specify, it was primarily through service organizations, town hall meetings, canvassing neighborhoods, and the like. I might add that with any survey, as you would expect, there's going to be some error, okay? A margin of error in the classical statistical sense, whenever you talk about constructing confidence intervals, you tend to look at a margin of error of plus or minus 5, 4, 3, 2, depending on sample size, among other things. And so if we were to assume that this sample was drawn by a random process, then the margin of error was approximately 3. So if you added and subtracted 3% to and from each one of these percents, then you would have a 95% confidence interval. Being trained as a statistician, that kind of bothers me a little bit because we don't have any random sampling. We did not use a probability sampling plan for this. So I used a Bayesian statistical inferential technique where I can do the same thing, only construct a probability interval rather than a confidence interval. Okay, so there is 95% probability that the population proportion parameter is included in the interval 30% plus or minus 3% for hearings, 30% plus or minus 3% for elected officials, and so on. So the point here is that it's possible to acknowledge that you can't use classical statistical inference with surveys that have not featured probability sampling plans, and use an alternative technique that does not assume random sampling, but rather the measure of uncertainty is directly accounted for by a probability interval. And we have the Reverend Thomas Bayes to thank for that. So, ooh, I gotta keep going. See what happens is I get carried away with them. Okay, we'll make sure we're through this. Are public forums created for discussion of issues that the board must address? Well, about 47% of those responding indicated that public forums are created, 53% of those responding not created. And so for the last question, do boards of health have working relationships with community-based organizations? A whopping 84% said yes, 13% said no, and 3% indicated that they didn't know. And the conclusions that we can draw from these particular items, this set of results, are the following. For this sample, boards of health received community input primarily by citizen complaints and public comments following meetings. Boards of health actively sought community input primarily from elected officials and public hearings. About half of the boards of health created public forums for discussion of issues. And most boards of health had working relationships with community-based organizations. Okay, so what methods of communication are implied by these conclusions? Well, these are pretty straightforward methods of communication that are kind of inferred or implied by the conclusions. Speaking and listening via public comments, public hearings, and public forums. Through communication methods utilized in working relationships, basically unknown. We really did not probe the results for that particular item. And that would be a good one, a good item to probe more deeply using a structured interview. Implications for improving communication through creating and evaluating innovative collaborations. There are three major implications that I will touch on very quickly. The ladder of community participation is described very nicely in terms of how Bruner applied it in a California health district. And his summary description is in the Community Engagement and Public Health, which I have referenced at the end. But each one of the rungs of this ladder features communication. Communication is addressed explicitly in each rung of the ladder. That's what I liked most about this. Contra Costa County Board of Supervisors appoints citizens to the Public and Environmental Health Advisory Board, a local board of health that provides the leadership and linkage to ensure constant communication. Community Balance Scorecard is the second one. I attended a scorecard workshop in Columbus, Ohio recently, actually last year, and the focus was on developing a strategic plan, and there was communication not only during the workshop, but a demonstration of how it can be maintained and sustained over the course of the work on projects that focus or that are focused by community balance scorecards. And again, I have referenced Epstein and FAS associates in at the end. I'm also on the Wood County Health Department pilot project using a CBSC approach. And so I have seen those communication tools firsthand. The governance model standard 3 is from the performance standards program. And both 3 and 4 focus on communication and collaboration. And we're seeing more and more local boards of health undergoing the assessment that is provided in the area of governance, including standards 3 and 4, but ranging from 1 through 10, I think it is. So the summary is boards of health can provide the leadership to create and sustain innovative collaborations among community partners in attempting to resolve communication problems and public health issues. Next steps are to evaluate. We've seen some excellent examples of creating, and now evaluating must take place. We don't have a lot of evidence of evaluation of collaborations, but we have a few that would provide us with some excellent guidance. And those are the references. And you can go to these two sources for more information. That's it.
Thank you very much.